coupons getting in, and I, oh, what am I get? That's quite cheap, isn't it? Okay, I'll save that in there.
Yeah, they're not bad, them. I mean, as long as you get used to holding the mouse instead of that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got this one, but the scroll wheel's a bit dicky on it. And the other one, which was I put away again, was working up until about 2 days ago, and it just stopped bloody scrolling. And I've changed the batteries in it, but anyway.
I can't use a mouse anymore. Trackpads have broken me.
I so miss my trackpad. I wish they would work with Windows. Or that I had a Mac.
I've got a Mac and a PC. Though.
I could never quite get on with them on the desktop. I love them on a laptop and rarely take a mouse with me when I have a laptop. But I got one with when I bought a second-hand iMac, and it came with one. So, oh, great, I'll get a chance to try one. I really didn't like it.
The old ones weren't that great, but the newer ones with the big... Like basically,
oh yeah, that's a different sort. Yeah, I had a circular bit at the back where some AA batteries went to the old one.
I had one too. It was okay, but it wasn't great.
I've got one of those. But this is
basically this is basically a MacBook. So.
Mm. Yeah, I had the original one that they brought out and loved it.
Mm. Okay, well, I'm going to start the show.
I'm recording.
And thank you, and I'm recording too. And I believe that even though we're starting, 15 minutes late for me, we're still early for a lot of the shows. So go us.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet, and I am still sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And Ewan, big hugs to you. Hope that you're back up and with us again soon. And I suppose on a geologic scale, even if it was like 6 months from now, that would still be really fast, but let's hope it's sooner than that. And until then, we'll just keep doing our best to blindly stumble forward without your guidance. Hey, we have an amazing panel today, which is absolutely awesome because I love hanging out with all of you. Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing good. It's been a nice week. I mean, it's kind of crazy how fast it's over again. Like, it's already Thursday evening for me, and tomorrow's the Mac show. So it's like done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, week is over. Doing good. It's cold. Like, I don't like winter, so I'm waiting for spring.
Well, soon, or so they say.
It's weekend, so they say,
yeah. Next week for us, yeah.
Well, fingers crossed that you actually get spring. Considering the way the last year has gone, who knows what season we'll have next?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. I'm doing great as always. I got the week off this week, so I'm kind of enjoying doing very little as possible. That's awesome. And going for nice walks and just generally chilling out and relaxing this week. So this week's a much easier week.
That's awesome. Self-care is important, so good for you.
Very.
And Rich, how are you today?
I'm all right. I've been waiting many years of my life to say this. I have a workout injury.
Do tell.
Okay.
I was doing workout and I've pulled something. If you see me flinch and sort of go during the show, that's what it is.
That's absolutely awesome.
That's my workout noise. Workout injury noise. That.
No, I understand that sound. Or
that's the one.
Yeah. I know those sounds. Yep. And 2 weeks in a row. Muller, how are you?
I'm fine, mate. I've had a car issue, so we won't talk about it. We did it pre-show. So it's doing my head in. And I've still got the oil when I was getting the battery out, so there you go. Anyway, how's the snow?
Well, it was fine. We only got 20 inches. And
that much then.
Yeah, you know, just a dusting for you. Yeah, but we were expecting more, but the weather cell kind of shifted and ended up dropping the larger snow amounts north of us in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So they got 4 feet of snow and we only got 20 inches. But that was also within the target range of what they said we could get. So, you know, it's fine. And it's Colorado. So the sun was out the next day. And well, there are large piles of snow where it's been plowed off the streets. Everywhere else, it's nearly gone. So, you know, snow for us is fun and then very fleeting.
That's the best snow.
Yeah. And Mueller, thank you for the idea for the next snow. If it's not as deep as it's supposed to be, I actually will use Lego minifigures for scale and hopefully get people to think that the snow is deeper than it was. Yeah. And already in the chat room, Batwinch is pointing out that the sound effects we're making, that's just what people over 40 do. So thank you for rubbing that in. And also question, did I lose power during the snowstorm? No, surprisingly. Spring snows in Colorado, it's very heavy and very wet snow. And even though I'm in Colorado where all the power lines should be underground, I live in a place where they are above ground. So yes, I typically lose power for at least a short while during the big spring snowstorms. And it did not happen this time.
And then so, you eat some spinach and you get it all back.
What a disappointment. Like you were looking forward to all that excitement and then nothing happened.
I was prepared. I had all of my battery backups ready to go. I was prepared. I had my camp stove at the ready so that I could still cook and make tea.
Well, absolutely, it's important.
You know what, Jeff? Next time, just go to your breaker box and just turn everything off and pretend you have a power outage.
I love that. Okay, yeah, that's great. I'll totally do it.
Can I ask you something, Jeff? What's a camp stove? Is it one that goes, I want to make it some tea?
Oh, I get it. British humor. Yes, it's yes, almost, that's exactly almost. What it is. And my camp stove, I keep in that closet. You can see the doorknob right back there for the closet where I keep my camp stove. Yes. And yet Ewan still lets us run this show without him.
Even though we talk totally complete and utter nonsense.
Oh, bless your heart, Ewan. Yeah. Okay. Hey, who has the first story this week? None of us.
Yes, I do. Go on. We might as well do my nonsense story. I've got a nonsense story this week that I liked.
I bet it's mine.
Drop your link in the chat.
I will do. It's cheerful. It's chimpanzees in the zoo, in a Czech zoo, are communicating via Zoom. Because the chimps in the zoo haven't got any visitors coming because the zoos are both closed, they've set up projectors and they've set up Zoom call between one zoo in, I'm going to murder the place names, in one place, and another one in Brno. And basically, there's one near Prague and there's another one further across the country. And basically, they're interacting via Zoom. At first, they were quite hostile and go, oh, what's that? You know, other monkeys. And then they've started to quite enjoy it. And they just sort of go, oh, yeah, look, there's another one over there. You know, and that's just kind of interesting, quite fun.
So it's a Zoom Zoom.
A Zoom Zoom. I mean, you just... And apparently, they're watching it like the movies. Apparently, they've adopted other human behaviours, such as grabbing snacks to chew while watching the action. I mean, the proof if you ever need it, we are related to apes. I just thought this was a nice, fun story and totally lacking any seriousness at all.
Did you zoom in then, Granty? because
I
know again, someone.
Why I let you into the chat? Patrice, I walked over what you were saying.
Oh, don't worry. I was just saying I know someone in Brno, so I should call him on Zoom and check in with him.
Absolutely.
Maybe he's in the Zoom now. I don't know.
Maybe in the Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Prague. Prague is a wonderful city. I went to go back last year for holidays and didn't get a chance. But that does sound like a great. I kind of like the idea of that. It seemed a nice good news story rather than doom and gloom.
Yeah, it's. I mean, what other animals could we do that with? Like pigs, maybe.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, they're smart enough.
Dolphins and penguins, sure.
Oh, dolphins, certainly.
Octopus, penguins, yeah. Penguins would do it as well. Mm. They're quite a social animal.
Zebras. About zebras, they could run past the camera and you could think it was static.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
that's awesome.
It is just kind of cool.
Elephants could make trunk calls.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear God, stop. Stop.
He don't is make the me father mute you. Steve is the father of all dad jokes. I mean, to be honest, he saved me there. I was considering it. You don't get to this time in life when you don't make bad jokes about drill elephant trunks.
I've got a message.
And here I was thinking, man, this is so cool. What a great, clever use of Zoom to keep these animals engaged and give them the extra socialization that they're used to having.
Yeah, because they have the humans. Idea. It's because they normally have the people coming past, and so they have people looking in, so they've normally got some interaction with their outside world rather than just the keepers. And so it's just another way of kind of, they see a few other chimpanzees on the other side of Czechoslovakia. You know, great. Brilliant. Love it.
Do you think the chimpanzees also say, can you hear me and can you see my screen?
Yeah, probably. You've got mute on.
You got mute on, exactly.
Yeah, a bunch of chimps going, you're on mute. Mute, you're on mute. Oh my God, you actually have a book.
Oh, that's your life guide book. Isn't it?
You got to blame Bat when she bought me that.
Yeah, there's this one chimpanzee who forgot that the camera's on.
somewhere over there, there is a dad jokes book. I've been bought one a couple of times.
I do not have a dad joke book. Of course, I'm also not a dad, so there's that. But
there is that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a dad, but I still got a dad joke book.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but
I just think there's a rule.
I've earned my stripes.
How long before the chimpanzees start trying to figure out ways to get out of their Zoom meetings?
I give it about five minutes to get to the other ones.
I give it 5 minutes. Like, this could have been an email.
Yes. Okay. Yep. That was just an awesome, fun story.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. So, Patrice, your story.
I got a little bit more serious. Good thing today is like a totally UK-centric panel, so this is the great story for that. You might have heard of, like, we might have even talked about it. Amazon has tried basically an insurance plan in Seattle the last, I don't know, year or so, I want to say. Basically offering like an insurance plan for the employees and like doing like in-person and online stuff and having their own app and all of that. And apparently it's going so great that Amazon has decided to roll that out throughout the US until this summer or this summer at some point.
So
which is interesting, like for Amazon as a, like, let's say, delivery and web service company to now have an insurance plan and be an insurance company and healthcare company is new.
That's new. I mean, what else will they do? Cars, boats, planes, taxis, airline travel. Yeah. I mean that you kind of think of the expansion of Amazon to offering services of every kind, ignoring sort of the healthcare bit for a minute. That's just,
well, this kind of
scary of World Company Inc. or whatever you'd want to call it.
That's terrifying.
Isn't it? World Company Inc.
Yeah.
Or whatever you'd want to call it.
But it does kind of fit in with things they've done before, because what they tend to do when they expand is they're doing things that they've developed expertise in through having to do them to run their original business. Mm-hmm. So once you're running this huge web store, you've got all this expertise in back-end web services and that sort of thing, and you can start making money by selling that service to other companies, and it just goes on and on. I'm kind of surprised they're not doing some sort of mail service.
Mm-hmm.
Like a straight up
courier. Yeah.
I mean, they're already doing delivery, so like it would be a small step to just offer it for everybody.
Exactly.
That's true.
And so when you reach a point that you're employing, I don't know how many people Amazon employ worldwide.
Hundreds of thousands worldwide, probably.
It's going to be a few. And you're providing healthcare for them, then this kind of makes sense. Once you've got it down, you can start just rolling that out to other companies. Doing with the voice assistant stuff as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I mean, in the US, it's different. Like in the US, the employer has to deal with healthcare. It's not like in Europe where basically like they just register you as an employee and then you have healthcare. Like there's not much they have to do.
I have an app on my phone and I can see a doctor through it with live chats.
Yeah.
Basically all of this, but it just is.
Yeah. In the UK, it just exists.
Exactly.
National Health Service has been there since the late 1940s.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
An inalienable right of every human in the United Kingdom is to have healthcare.
Yeah.
Although
that just sounds beautiful.
I've just seen some scary stuff in the news about a series of GP surgeries in London that have been sold off to a healthcare vendor of some description or another.
Yeah.
And
the US is buying them.
Yeah, they are.
The US groups are buying them.
Oh, yeah, they're buying GP surgery and they're going to start stripping them. Mm-hmm. There was talk of stripping them down which is a kind of a worrying thing that it will go the way of the US, you know, x-ray. So that'll be $50. Well, you know, and no.
It's so cute how you said that'll be $50. That's like cheap. We get anything.
I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea. I guess it's equivalent to the cost of a vet. In the UK, where that cost, everything costs. Is when you're kind of looking at parallels of numbers, because I've no idea. I never pay for any. I don't have to pay for any of my medical treatment. I have no idea.
You do if you go to dentists.
Dentists and vets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it depends on the care, but it's still, as I said, the big difference is in the US. Basically, you switch your employer and you have to switch your healthcare plan because different employer might have a different plan. It's and I think that's probably, as you said, as Rich said, Amazon probably had to deal with it and was like, okay, this is stupid. Let's just create our own. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Amazon is doing this isn't a big surprise to me.
No.
When companies in the United States get big enough, it's cheaper for them to create their, you know, what we call self-insured program, where they're running as their own health insurance company as well for their employees. And it's cheaper to have their own medical staff on hand, have their own clinics than it is to work with other insurance providers in the country to handle that.
Especially in the US.
Yeah. So and this, I mean, is no surprise at all to me.
No, it's not. I mean, it's probably also not for me because I work in that space. I actually know the guy who runs Amazon Health in Europe. So he's a ex-employee of our company. So I know, like, I know enough about it to know that Amazon is very much interested in this space and thinks they can do something. And I mean, from what I've seen, the app that they're offering seems to be really good. Like the online app, it's like, it is, I think to some extent, miles better than anything else on the market, because the other apps are crap. Like, I've used a couple of them in the US and they're crap. Like, I mean, yeah, they get the job done somehow, but the user experience is horrible. And that's something, I wouldn't say Amazon's user experience is great, like the main app, but the extra stuff they're doing is actually usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just looked up average cost of x-rays in the US. And for a bone x-ray, it's $1,600.
Mm-hmm.
The national highest price is $5,100 for just a, have I broken my arm?
Yeah. I once went to the emergency room to, what did they do? They took my blood, they did a CT scan, and I waited, and that was it. And that would have costed, like, if I hadn't had insurance, which still cost me some money, it would have been $9,000 for that, for basically nothing. And it cost me about, I want to say, $2,000 still. So,
mm-hmm. That,
on top of what I'm already paying
for what you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, I mean, emergency rooms are a lot more expensive. That's normal, but like as I said, they didn't do much. I sat there for 6 hours and then they sent me home. So,
mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah. I had some I had private health insurance when I was in my job, because we did it. It did it through our thing. It was only about £25 a month. And it, you could get seen by this, by consultants quicker. And I had an issue a few years ago, and I saw this consultant, which I paid for. Well, my insurance paid for. And then when I got really badly, I actually got to go by ambulance to hospital. And guess who my consultant was? It was the very person my private health insurance was paying for. He was the same bloke, which actually helped.
Yeah.
Because he actually knew my history. So I ended up with intravenous, drugs and got myself sorted. But some of our NHS staff work in the private space to earn extra money.
Yeah, yeah. It's completely normal for any NHS sort of consultant once you get on the gravy train. Private work from Bupa and the likes is
good money.
A friend of mine's an orthopod, and he does work of his own, and he works for a large hospital in London. And it's kind of just it's what you do. It's how you make your living. The NHS don't pay him enough, and the other bits does. It's interesting thing. I had some from a previous employer as well, where it was great in terms of the only downside to the NHS is treatment sometimes takes a bit of time for you to go between diagnosis and actual treatment. If you need operative, if you need a surgery or anything like that, it can take a bit of time. Having private healthcare means you can hop the queue a bit.
That is an understatement. I know people that have waited 5 years for an appointment in the UK for NHS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow,
that's
an appointment to not even schedule and anything, just have an appointment to be seen
for consultants and things. Yes,
yeah.
No, that's definitely elective then, because I had an issue about 10 years ago where I broke my arm, and it was a bad break. The bone came out, so you know what kind of break it is, and. I was admitted. I had the operation that day.
If it's emergency, sure.
Emergency,
like if anything that they can take time, will take time.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree with that.
I said four or five years to get an appointment, and another two to actually have surgery.
It's elective. Then it's not emergency or it's
no,
not.
It definitely wasn't an emergency. No. It was life changing, but it's like I said, they were just busy. Didn't have any slots before that.
Well, with COVID at the moment, you're lucky to get cancer treatments at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm still choking on what we pay for insurance. I yep. pay $600 a month for my insurance, and then I still pay out of pocket for yep. anything that I need done.
Yep.
So I'm paying $600 a month for the privilege of being able to just pay for everything myself.
So is that effective to put a doctor on retainer for you so that you can get to be treated?
You just give that money to the insurance company mm-hmm. every month.
Yep.
And basically, where the health insurance becomes useful here is if you have a really major catastrophic medical event where you're going to rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars,
millions sometimes,
of expenses, and you'll still probably have to pay, depending on your insurance policy, $5,000-$10,000 out of pocket before the insurance company takes over the rest.
Mm-hmm.
The cheapest medical procedure, anything I've had lately was like a year, probably 2 years ago now. I had this big lump on my neck, and I'm like, oh damn, better get that checked. And went in, and it turned out that I had a cyst that grew quickly and then ruptured. But the doctor's like, well, we better check it for cancer as well. So they removed the cyst, which needed to come out anyhow, and did a biopsy and stitched my neck up and sent me on my way. And the whole event cost me only $250. And I was shocked because I was expecting...
that was cheap.
It was super cheap. Yeah. I mean, I was expecting cut the cyst out, stitch me up, do a biopsy, $1,000. I just assumed that's what I was going to be out of pocket.
Yeah, I mean, get a tooth pulled and replaced, like not even anything fancy, $2,000. Easy.
That's true. I had just a routine cleaning.
With insurance, by the way.
Yeah.
With insurance. Otherwise, it would have been three times that much.
Yeah, I did a routine teeth cleaning actually a couple weeks ago now. $120.
That's about what you would pay. So
dental costs are about the same for you?
Yeah, I paid £60 the other day.
Austria, it's about 100, 120 for cleaning.
It is capped. I mean, ours is capped, though. There is a limit to which you can pay, and you pay, so even if it's quite major sort of dental surgery, it goes up to about 500 quid, 600 quid, and then you pay no more. I can't remember exactly the numbers.
Yeah.
But it's somewhere there. There's three levels. Basic stuff's under £100, over £100 for sort of something in the middle. And then there's the bits on top, which are a little bit more.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it is in the UK. You still pay. I mean, I pay 10% of my income for health insurance. It's like 10. I think I pay 10% and the employer pays another 10. So... like, it's not free.
Of course it's
but
not
it's
free.
Also not stupid.
I wouldn't
stupid.
Expect it to be free.
but it's also not stupid. So
it's not free for us. We just pay for it through our taxes.
Taxes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It isn't.
And everyone pays. So if when you're young, you pay when you don't need it. And when you're old and you need it, you still pay. But, that's
the
US, when you get the
benefit. When you're young, you pay. And when you're old, you can't afford it. So
yeah,
you don't get
it. There
you
go. Yeah.
Yeah. God. Kind of how that works.
Yep.
And you call yourselves a civilized society?
Yep.
Well, nope. I don't call us a civilized society.
See, that's terrifying.
We have a lot of technology, but I wouldn't say that the United States is civilized.
I'll tell you the best.
You're
comedy.
Supposed to be the first world. I mean, healthcare, surely, isn't that one of the pillars of the first world? Healthcare for all?
It's
not healthcare for those with enough money.
Else in the world.
Healthcare for those with enough money.
I mean, healthcare is available if you can afford it.
Yeah. Everything. I mean, I suppose it comes along with the American sort of ethic of self-made person. You know, everything you do, you've earned it all yourself. You've made it all yourself. So that kind of feeds into that image.
No,
and so
that's
you're
not
on welfare.
The way it
no.
is.
No, the true. I mean.
I mean, it one feels to cost, an outsider like that.
One is the cost side, but the other side is like most people simply can't afford it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like they like I know plenty of like friends of mine, they work full time and can't afford healthcare because it would be half of their paycheck.
So what do you do then? So if you're ill,
you don't have healthcare. You just don't get sick, or if you get sick, you're screwed. Like
yeah, that's it.
As always, it's a poor person's game. Like you lose. Yeah.
There's a reason why GoFundMe is so popular in the United States. Mm-hmm. That's how people supplement their, or not even supplement, that's how people pay for medical expenses in the United States. They set up a GoFundMe webpage.
Yeah. Or they don't do it.
That all of their friends will chip in enough money to cover the expenses, or you just file bankruptcy.
Yeah. Either you don't do it, or if you don't have a choice, you file bankruptcy. Like it's the only way how you can even do it. Or you go on a payment plan and pay it off for the next 20 years.
That's madness. Or longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad part. I said, like if you're rich or like if you're working in like tech or something where you're making enough, it's not a big issue. Like, yeah, it's expensive, but you can afford it. But the problem is most people can't.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Welcome to the United States.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think the best comedy show in the United States is Fox News. That's so funny.
Okay, now we're getting political.
No, it's just funny. I was watching it the other day and it was funny as Tucker Carlson. It's funny just unless you so live serious.
Here. Yeah, exactly. It's funny. It's funny until you have to live with it.
Live with it, yeah. Yeah, but as an outsider, I can laugh at it.
Yeah,
I think we're getting our own one soon.
They have people in the family.
Oh, we are supposed to be getting a
love Fox News. So.
We are getting a Fox equivalent, aren't we? Or some nonsense like that.
Mm. I am so sorry.
Yeah, so we.
Well, fortunately, it'll be on broadcast television, so no one's ever going to see it.
that's true. It'll disappear into the murky of the high numbers on the TV set, and no one will watch it. You'll only stumble on it when you're looking for the random channels up in the. In the higher reaches of the,
No one will know it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what someone said about Fox News at some point.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like the title for today's show is Jeff's Sorry Ass Insurance.
Yeah, it's sad but true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, before I start crying because of how bad healthcare is where I live, who else has the next story?
I think Rich posted one.
Oh, yeah,
we've chatted a lot since then.
Hold on, let me. Oh, yep, there it is. There it is. All I had to do is scroll back. Rich, tell us about your story, and hopefully it'll be something that doesn't make me cry about how bad health insurance is in the United States.
Well, my new story, it can kind of be two in one. This one. So I'll ramble a bit over this first one. Google have announced a new Nest Hub smart display beastie thing, one of the big ones, which looks fine and that sort of thing. The big thing is it watches you sleep.
Oh, God.
It tracks your sleep quality. But how does it watch you sleep? Not with a camera. No. That's last year's old rubbish for Amazon to play with. No, with radar.
Oh.
So you get the big thing and you sit it next to your bed, and I'll assume that you either sleep alone or your significant other doesn't care, or you buy two, one each, I suppose. They're about $300, so I don't see many couples using these each as a bedside alarm, but there you go. And it does little radar-y things. There's a great article on Engadget that explains it with science, but it does cool little radar-y things that checks how much you move around and when you got into bed and all that kind of thing. And just integrates into the Google Health app, which is actually quite cool. I kind of like this. If it wasn't a $300 alarm clock, I might be willing to try it out.
Detect your rumpy bumpy?
I don't know.
That was something I wondered. I have to say, that did pass my by, that if it monitors your movements in bed,
if up this and down works moment. Like the, yeah. the device that I have, then... No, it's not going to do that because you actually
yours works out the internet.
Yeah. So mine, what I have, it's several years old now, and it uses I believe it's ultrasonic sound waves, and so those bounce off your body, and then so it can monitor your motion, your breathing, and it's surprisingly accurate. So it's basically doing the radar thing, mm-hmm. but the only time it does it is when I take my iPhone, launch the app, and then tap the button, that says I'm sleeping, and then it tracks at that point. So I suppose if I got a little crazy after I did that, you know, it would track that, but it would read it as I'm very restless, I'm not actually asleep.
Yeah.
It wouldn't read it as, yeah, Jeff's getting busy.
Yeah.
Who knows?
How is this better than any of the things I'm not wearing one. Fitbits and associated motion sensing wristband type things. There are a million of them now.
Well, then you have to wear it and remember to wear it all night. And
yeah.
When are you going to charge it if you don't take it off at night to
That is easy. I do that every day. I wear my Apple Watch at night, and in the morning when I go shower, I put it on the charger, and for an hour it's on the charger, and then I pick it up and it's fine. Do that every day. I've been doing that for a year and a half.
I really do need to get one, don't I?
That's
the big reason.
Charging is not a big problem.
Yeah. No, it's not, to be honest.
The big reason for one of these devices that uses sound or radar for tracking your sleep, as opposed to, say, an Apple Watch or a Fitbit, is that the premise that an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or whatever uses, that wrist-worn thing, is that you're wearing the device on your non-dominant wrist. Mm-hmm. And so that's the arm that's going to move the least when you sleep. And it's actually basing a lot of what it does on motion tracking. And
operating motion.
Yeah. And so that's okay. It gives you an idea of your sleep patterns, but it's not really giving you an accurate tracking of your sleep activity. Mm. So something like this that monitors your breathing and movement and, you know, all the other stuff that goes along with what happens when you're actually sleeping, this is going to give you a much more accurate, much more realistic view into what happens when you are sleeping.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, for me, that was never an important part. For me, it was about the health data that the sensors are capturing anyway, because they capture O2 saturation, heart rate and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then just duration, like making sure that I sleep enough, which the Apple Watch actually does a really good job of reminding me to go to bed, because otherwise I would stay up till like 3 hours. So
yeah. Now I just bagged on the wrist-worn sleep tracking system, and I'm going to throw the other side of it in here. The fact that it's easy to do makes it more likely that you will do it. And mm-hmm. these devices are good for tracking trends.
Yeah.
So your Apple Watch or your Fitbit, you can use that to figure out that, oh, hey, I tend to wake up every morning at 3 a.m. or whatever time. Yeah. And then it takes me like an hour and a half or whatever before I can really fall back asleep again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can watch for those long-term patterns with these devices. And I mean, that's really useful information too.
Yeah. And it actually, it's one of the few devices that can figure out when you fall asleep. You don't have to tell it at all. Like you just go to bed and it figures it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, it's probably not accurate to the second, but it's good enough that I thought it was accurate.
Yeah. And you know, and my sleep tracker, it sits beside the bed. The only reason I have to hit the button that says, hey, I'm going to sleep now, is because it's designed to not do anything until I explicitly tell it, okay, you can start tracking now. And then And then it's just doing its thing. And then it figures out, oh yeah, he fell asleep here and woke up here. And Batwench is telling me that having to get up to pee at 4 a.m. every night is another over 40 thing.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's two.
I haven't got that one.
Three, I'm four, looking
forward to it. that'll come.
It doesn't know. Actually, I find it every few days that happens. And last few days, I've just, it's not happened.
Make an appointment with NHS and get that checked.
No, it's just a damn bad in the bent.
Yeah. All right. Back to this actual product, Rich.
Yes. I forgot what we're talking about.
This is really cool. And what Google's doing here is really cool. And if I didn't have trust issues with Google and my data, this is something that I would be really interested in trying out.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I don't really have any counter arguments to that. By the way, this isn't anything like as expensive as I thought it was. I thought it was the big $300 one. It's not. This is the $100 one, or it's
$89.99. Oh, wow.
It's really good value.
So sort of I think it's still an 8-inch screen. Why doesn't this... Oh, their website's too fancy and doesn't actually tell me anything. That's great.
It's too fancy. It doesn't tell you anything.
Learn more. And it's just a static picture. There's nothing. I learn nothing. Thank you. Okay. That's useless to me. So I don't know anything more about it other than it's $89.99. And you can pre-order them.
And it hasn't got a camera.
And it hasn't got a camera. No, it has got a camera. It just doesn't use it to...
I'm pretty sure that one hasn't got a camera because
like a black dot in the middle of it at the top in a very
listened to the news show this morning when they were talking about this and a friend of the show says it ain't got a camera. That's what he said anyway.
Well, this friend on the show says it has. Bring it on.
Smackdown.
Oh, he wakes up in a few hours. I'll land it on him.
Hey, I dropped a link to the sleep tracker that I use into the chat. So if anyone's interested in getting one or just learning more about it, I'm using Sleep Score Max.
Oh, hang on. They've covered their damn specs under a drop-down menu. Let's see. What's it doing? Does it have? Does it have a camera? Display, 7-inch touchscreen. Doesn't mention a camera. It doesn't mention one.
Batwench has got no camera.
What's in the camera shaped hole at the top of it then? Is that where the radar comes from?
It's LIDAR. That means LIDAR, you can see how fast your bum's moving up and down.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
This is cool.
So the sort of opposite to that thing is Apple have announced they're discontinuing the HomePod.
Radio, but how long?
We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Definitely going to talk about that tomorrow.
I think that's a safe bet. It's on the list for tomorrow.
And to be honest with you, who cares?
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yes.
Yep.
Who has the next story?
Is it mine?
It's yours. Yeah. Down to you, Muller.
Okay.
Oh, no. Should I pick it?
I got two links for this. There's one. There's the BBC one, or there's the CNN one. But basically, it's an American mother that used she used deep fake videos to get all her daughters. Cheerleading friends kicked off the team. And I think this is absolutely terrible. I mean,
it is absolutely terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it shows you how competitive the sport is.
But yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like,
you know, for me with this story, when I read it, like after the news broke, was that this was in Pennsylvania and not Florida. because true, this is such a Florida thing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she was from Florida. Who knows?
That's she true. Maybe she just moved to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's possible.
Florida.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I would say brownie points for like the technical side of it. Like actually, knowing about deepfakes and figuring out how to do them. But it's still terrible.
It's yeah.
What did she do with it then? So she, I'm assuming, made some fake photos or videos
featuring naked drinking and smoking. Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there was more than that. If you look at the CNN story, which I didn't copy a link to, she put them in more interesting poses. Leave it at that.
But hero.
Shall we just say that? Doesn't she look like she looks like Princess Leia chased after a bus and the bus broke?
I scrolled down and that was terrifying.
Yeah, you're right.
I wondered if that was one of the deep fakes.
the fact is that the moment her lawyer's going, I've not seen any of this stuff and I'm going to fight this. She's doing this. And I'm thinking, there's no smoke without fire, mate. There's no way she didn't do something like this, because who think about reporting deep fakes? To the authorities, and the authorities then take action on it. So this is going to be an ongoing story, which we need to come back to, I think.
Yeah. This is the kind of thing. Well, actually, I think in this specific story, it was some of the recipients, because it was like the coaches were getting these videos, and they went to the authorities. And of course, none of the kids that were on the cheerleading team knew this was happening. And but I think some of them found out, went to the police as well. Yet there's no way that the whole cheerleading team and the coaches created a conspiracy just to screw this one mom by making deep fakes of themselves. It's this woman is in a lot of trouble.
She doesn't look exactly level-headed, shall we say, and I'm being polite there.
No, the same image is used on other places, so that clearly is a picture of Raffaella Spohn.
It's the smallest mouth of any person in the world.
I've posted the CNN one, which is a little, it's probably a better article than the BBC one. But
I'm just wondering what you were Googling for when you found this article about cheerleaders misbehaving.
I actually was watching on YouTube and I saw a news story about it. I thought that'd be great for this for us. They treat it as a joke, but I don't think it is a joke. I think it's a very serious and very worrying trend.
This is cyber harassment, which is, I mean, one, definitely illegal, and two, really, really, like, really bad.
It's sinister. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've only got to get the wrong kind of people. If she'd done it to, say, to people that weren't quite so tech savvy, you know, who believed it, the damage could be done. And I think it's awful. I mean, this woman needs to be really punished.
Let's put a little asterisk on it. We don't know whether it's true. It could turn out that it wasn't her. Like, I mean, she hasn't been charged yet officially from what I've seen, or at least not like convicted. So there is a chance that she hasn't done it and with someone else. I mean, it's always possible, but whoever did it, like, it's horrible.
Well, yeah, ain't got to court yet. So we should, innocent till proven guilty.
Exactly. But whoever did it, it's horrible. Like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, she totally did it. Look at her. That's
true. You're not on the jury then.
I'm not. No,
sure. it's disturbing, not just because of what the content was, but because it shows how easy it is now for just the average person to create deepfakes, and if just your average soccer mom or whatever can do this. imagine what organizations that have a lot of resources are capable of doing. And, you know, I mean, even to the point of espionage, create compromising videos of world leaders or whatever it is that you want to do that that would destabilize a government.
I mean, that is already happening. I think
that's
think
true. That's, but that's, still.
The NSA are already doing that.
The CIA did it like decades ago, so that's a separate story. it's more concerning that like how easy it's gotten, as you said, for normal people to do it. Like that's the worrying thing, because I mean, right now you can still tell it's a fake. Like there are good ones, but you can still tell if you're looking, if you know what you're looking for. But they're getting very, very good.
Have you seen the Tom Cruise deepfakes that you know, there's just one guy that's made several of these, and they're not like incriminating in any way. It's just him showing up and talking to someone or doing an interview or whatever. And when I saw them, my first thought was that's a lookalike actor doing their Tom Cruise impression, but no, it was deepfake.
Yeah, I mean, look at what I mean. And yeah, we just talked about Leia, and I mean, you could tell that that was not her, but it's getting close. I mean, there have been instances where it was hard to tell in a movie that, I mean, with like big budget and everything, but it was hard to tell that it wasn't real.
Yeah,
brings all kinds of implications. This, do you know what? This reminds me of an episode of Star Trek. Because there was an episode of Deep Space Nine when Quark was trying to get holographic images of Major Kira so that he could use them in essentially holodeck porn.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, it's like 1996 or whatever, and you sort of laugh it off, and it's ridiculous because there are no holodecks and there's no making porn with people in it who don't want to be in it. And
look where now we are you now. Can. I mean, we still don't have holodecks, but... We can make videos at least.
Yeah,
that's true. If you want to put, we do have Oculus Rift.
Yeah, it's kind true. Of it's bad. This
I mean, it's nothing that wasn't predicted or predictable. I remember, like when I went to school, like one of my professors, like he specializes in basically artificial images. Like you've seen his work, like a lot of the, like even a lot of the rings and so on, like a lot of the artificial environments that you see, like he helped generate, like, or the tools that he created helped generate. And he said, we're not going to be able to tell the difference between a real photo and it and like a generated one. We're getting to the point where you can't tell.
I can't believe that.
You might be able in the metadata or something, but you can't tell by looking at it.
I mean, what's the website that, this person does not exist.com. And just refreshing that over and over and to think all of these pictures are of people that do not exist at all. And they are perfect.
And now I'm looking at that page. And...
Yeah, we did an art installation of completely computer generated photos. And like, you couldn't tell. They were printed in nice frames and everything. You couldn't tell. This and that was crazy. In 2006, I think, or 2007.
I mean, like, I'm looking in these people's eyes, and the reflections are right. I mean, that's one place that I have typically looked and been able to tell that I'm looking at a face that isn't real. But yeah, they've even nailed that.
Yeah, there was this story recently that one way to detect deepfakes is by looking at the reflection in the eyes, because they're like they don't mimic real world reflections. So that's one way how you can detect it.
Yeah,
that's gonna go away as well. Like once they figured out how to detect it properly, someone's gonna figure out how to generated properly. So
looking at these images that this person does not exist creates, like right now I'm looking into, it's a face where the person has brown eyes, and so the reflection really stands out on these eyes, and I can see the room in the reflection, just like if it was real. This is crazy.
Yeah, there's one. Somebody's wearing sunglasses, and you see, like, you can reflect, you see the reflection of the environment, stuff like that. It is getting really good.
Yeah, this is just holy crap. All right, I need to stop hitting refresh.
I know, right? You just get lost in it. None of these people are real. Yeah. They're not anywhere.
Yeah.
It's bad.
They could be.
Does make you think about replicants and things as well. I was just there sitting there thinking about how you tell if the person's a replicant or not.
Thinking about I did for a horror film where you sat scrolling through it and suddenly your face is on there.
Oh, I love it.
That would be great, wouldn't it? That's great. I like that.
Oh, absolutely love that.
Someone make that.
Oh my god. Like, yes, I want to see that one now. So we're up to the last story, which is me. My story, it comes from research that was done through the through Apple's App Store, but it applies to other platforms as well. And it's a study that pCloud did into how much of our personal data is being shared by various mobile apps. And it was easy for them to do this because Apple has a new thing where you see what applications are collecting and sharing. So they could base everything off that. And it's over half of the apps that are available are sharing personal data with third parties. And no surprise, Facebook is one of the worst offenders, but under the name Facebook, it is not the worst offender. It's like the second worst. Instagram is the worst offender for sharing personal data.
Which is
a Facebook company.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn is right up there as well.
So, okay.
TikTok.
Basically, Facebook properties.
Trainline as well. eBay was no surprise.
Right. Isn't TikTok taking Apple to court to try to circumvent their privacy controls?
No, Facebook is doing that.
That was Facebook.
Well, TikTok are doing it as well. They don't want to use that system where you have to get Apple's permission.
Now we know why.
Well, yeah.
YouTube's actually pretty good, though. And that's a Google property.
Yeah,
so, compared to other services.
YouTube is 6 and 7, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's two charts on here. And the first one is how much is shared with third parties, and the other one is what do they collect for their own benefit.
Mm.
Oh, wait, no. YouTube's further.
But Facebook and Instagram top both of them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if the three apps that they say are the safest use for protecting or not sharing your data, Clubhouse, Netflix, and Signal.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Clubhouse just changed. Like there were some voices, I mean, including me, saying they shouldn't like just upload your entire address book, and they changed it.
Mm-hmm.
They literally just they said you can request it right now through like an email to have what you uploaded removed, and they're gonna put it in the app as well.
Yeah.
So. That's actually pretty good.
My problem when I was running a website was not knowing who to sell all this data to. I mean, it's very honorable, but I had no money and I'd have sold all that data in the blink of an eye. But I don't know, where do you sign up to go and do that? It's
yeah, who doesn't have it already?
Yeah,
yeah,
who
that's
Instagram
the
selling
question.
All the data too. I don't know.
Well, yeah. In this case, it's probably pretty safe, but it's advertisers.
Yeah.
It's true.
And yeah. Well, and then we have had instances where the data is being at least collected, if not collected and sold, for third parties for more nefarious uses. Example being the 2016 U.S. presidential election. So yeah, there's a lot of value in our personal information from a political standpoint as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
I feel like I should have brought a happier story today.
You should have. Yeah, it's interesting. BBC Sounds, for example, shows up in that list, sharing with third parties.
Yeah, that one I wouldn't have expected.
That is like I was just checking for unexpected ones and.
High players down there where you wouldn't expect that to be sharing much. Mm. There's nothing for it to share.
Yeah. As I said, I mean, most of them are like, I mean, Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and so on. I mean, that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But
stuff you expect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I would expect Disney Plus to be higher on the list than it is.
Mm. Yeah. But AOL is listed. That's interesting.
Okay, the big shock there is that AOL is still around list. To actually show up on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
are they still
list.
An ISP? Hang on.
Do they still exist?
.co.uk. There's a website there.
Does AOL still actually exist? I mean, I've seen people with AOL addresses, but...
Yeah, AOL is still around.
Holy crap, I just loaded the AOL webpage.
Yeah.
I think they're even still selling internet access.
I've had a CD for years.
I'm going to say, that it was my joke, you nicked.
Ah, well, you got to get in there quick, mate. You got to get in there quick. Indeed.
Magazine you bought had an AOL disc on it.
Yeah, AOL is part of Verizon right now. So that's why.
It does exist. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does CompuServe still exist? Because I've got an unlimited membership.
Do you still have a GeoCity webpage?
Yeah, exactly, Muller.
GeoCities. God, yeah. There we are going back to the old world of the internet again.
There is something at CompuServe.com.
And Batwrench is absolutely right. The CD, the moment CDs, they were coasters.
That's true.
On Batmage, you mentioned Angel Fire as well. There was another name from the past.
Oh wow! And yes, Batwinch. I literally used AOL CDs and floppy disks as coasters.
Me too. Mm.
Yeah.
I had a friend at uni covered his entire bedroom wall, one wall, in AOL CDs. It looks spectacular. Funny.
Oh,
then did he put a glitter ball in?
Didn't need to. He had a wall of CDs.
But the CDs were fantastic. And you just go to Asda and they'd have boxes of hundreds of them at every checkout. And we just went one day and took them all. And no one gave a shit because who cares? You know.
My stepfather used to hang them on wire in his garden to scare off the birds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, CDs. Popular or was popular here for squirrels. Yep. Oh, good times.
Just
I hung them up in my bedroom. It's like a disco ball. Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, it would definitely work.
Mm.
Yeah. Hey, this show and all the others are sponsored by, I almost said British Tech Network, but that's who we are.
Yeah,
we're sponsored by TSO Hosts. And TSO Host is awesome. First, because they're making sure we have our bandwidth. Second, because they're making sure we have the storage space we need. And third, because they're clearly incredibly tolerant. Because, I mean, look at us. And they sponsor us. And that is absolutely fantastic. And we love TSO Host for being here for us. So if you're looking for old shows to go back and relive just amazing moments like you've experienced all through this episode, TSL hosts, make sure we have that storage space for that. So you can go and find all of those shows, and or at least the ones that, that we still have up. And what they're asking for us is that we give them a shout out on our favorite social networks. Of course, if you have the need to have a domain name or a website hosted, they've got your back. But they're not strong arming us to actually do that, which is incredibly generous on their part. What they really want is that shout out, that little bit of love. So take your favorite social network and let them know that we really appreciate them. Give TSO hosts a big thank you for being here for us and making it possible for us to be here every single week. Also, Iman Max is sponsoring us. And if you have anything with an Apple logo that needs to be fixed, they're the place that can do it. And what they do, instead of just like taking out your motherboard or logic board and throwing it away and just putting a new one in, they find what failed in the device and fix the component, which is awesome because that means that you get back the device that you're expecting, and we're keeping more waste out of landfills. So that's pretty awesome. And if you mention BTN when you you get whatever it is fixed, or they also do have Apple equipment for sale, you're going to get a 5% discount. So mention BTN when you're working with Iman Max. And since Ewan still hasn't told me to stop, there's contests going on. And what you need to do is find the names of the four people that work at Iman Max, and then send those four names to Ewan at BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com, and you'll be entered into the contest. And the contest is to win a British Tech Network, an Iman Max mug. I'm bound and determined to make BTN just like the center of everything.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyhow, Iman Max mug or Iman Max Qi charger, so you can wirelessly charge your Qi compatible devices, you know, like your iPhone. And just send those four names to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com, and you'll be in the running. And until Ewan tells me, mate, you got to stop it, I'm not going to stop it.
One day he's going to call you and he's going to be like, stop.
Yeah, I expect like a stream of text messages or a phone call. And I'll throw one of the names out for you right now. Callum will be with us tomorrow on the Mac show. Now you only have to find three more names. And if our Christmas show is still up on the website, you can go through the Christmas show and find the names there. And if not, if you spend the time to explore the Iman Max website and see all the great deals and cool things they can do for you, you'll be able to find the names. So the
Christmas quiz is still up for another 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, go and watch it, because you'll be able to see incredible things like me failing to be able to answer questions based on articles that I have brought to podcasts.
And so you wrote?
I thought you would say that I have written.
Well, in some, you know, yeah. Well, in prior years, yes, for some that I've written, yeah. Yeah, so thank you, TSO host. Thank you, Iman Max, for being here for us. And we have mentioned the links to the articles we've talked about. Patrice, where can people find those?
Well, that's actually very easy. You take your favorite browser, you point it to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then navigate to the 18th of March, 2021. And there you will find everything we've talked about, all the links and everything. And as always, don't click any links Wolderbiker has posted. It's not worth it.
No, because you can't unsee the things that he posts. Trez, you might. Yeah. Hey, it's time for the cool thing. And Patrice, let's start with you. What do you have for us this week?
Let's see. I'm going to go with another great TV show. This time it's on Apple TV Plus, but you don't have to be in the Apple ecosystem. You don't have to be any, like, have anything from Apple. You will have to create an Apple ID if you want to subscribe to it. But Apple TV Plus is great. I mean, it's like Ted Lasso alone is way worth it. But today I'm going to pick Dickinson. It's a quirky little show. It's definitely, it's not a traditional era piece where like everything is old timey and like big poofy dresses and everything. Even though there are like awesome poofy dresses and everything, but it's like, it's kind of an interesting take on a show like that, because it's like modern language. You will like, sometimes they will like even rap or like do some, like the music will be modern and the speed, the like language is very modern. Like teenagers, most of them are playing teenagers, so you will get the flair of like a current teenager. But it's set in the time of Emily Dickinson. And it's about Emily Dickinson and about how she grew up with her family and all the interactions. So it's a really interesting take on it. I found it really interesting. I mean, it's dark. It's Emily Dickinson. So there are some dark parts when she sees death and so on. But it's entertaining. And it's like, I think it's a half hour episode. So it's not too crazy. And it's 10 episodes. So it's not a massive investment of time. So absolutely head over to Apple TV. I think it's tv.apple.com. Look for Dickinson and go watch it. It's absolutely worth it. Like, I loved it. Like, it's actually one of my favorite shows.
I've watched the first episode and I really enjoyed it. And I haven't watched the rest of it yet because I'm so hooked right now on Penny Dreadful. So once I'm done binging the rest of season two and then all of season three, then I'll go and get back into Dickinson.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember the actress. I think it's Hailee Steinfeld. Might be butchering that name right now, but she's really good. Like, she's great. As I said, and like poofy dresses and everything that goes with it, which is amazing. So absolutely worth it.
Awesome. Ian, what do you have?
I have a couple of things today. One, because we were talking about at the start of the show, mice, vertical mice specifically. I've more or less completely switched over to them now, and I've got two of a very similar design there. They're now actually accessible. Back in the day when the first ones came out, they were eye-poppingly expensive, but these are trivially cheap. I've got this one, which is a anchor one. I've got another one made by another company, which is, I think it's called Jellycomb maybe. And that one's Bluetooth for my Mac. And I've got this one, which is just a standard wireless one with a little Bluetooth USB receiver. And they're brilliant. I've got big clumsy hands. And the problem with big hands is those little mice that you get pre-provided with them, all you end up with RSI across your knuckles, because it's so uncomfortable. So I bought one of these vertical mice. I'll give it a go. It wasn't much, the 15 quid. And I bought this one. It's brilliant. Wouldn't look back now. The only one thing with them, because they're so big, and because they stand vertically, you knock them over. You can knock it over when it's sat on your desk. But once you get used to it being there, they're absolutely great. And I wouldn't have anything else. That's my first recommendation. The second one was, because I've been off this week, I've been watching TV, and I dug out an old movie because I got a Blu-ray copy of it, and it's Big Trouble in Little China.
Awesome. Oh, what a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much fun and so overlooked, I think. And go and watch it again. It's on you. I think YouTube have got it there. That's can rent Kurt it from Russell, Amazon. Right? Kurt Russell, yeah. It's all in the reflexes. It's one of those fantastically quotable movies from a million years ago, and it's just amazingly good fun. Hell of being cut to pieces and all of that kind of madness, and the Kim Cattrall and Kurt Russell. That's brilliant. And whoever the guy who played David Lopan is a particularly good madman. He still does stuff. I think he did a Gangnam Style. Mm-hmm. James Hong, he did Gangnam Style in the guise of Lopan or something. He's a bit of a madman, but excellent fun.
Awesome. Excellent
fun. It's a good movie.
That it is a really fun movie. Yep. Okay, Rich, what do you have today?
Right. This might be a bit old, and I don't know when it came out or when it started being a thing, but I only discovered it this week, and it's made me so happy. I'm a big user of Google Drive and have been for ages, and unfortunately, as a result of that, I've been a big user of their backup and sync app, which is hideous. It's awful. It's slow. Buggy, it's clearly not been touched for a very long time, and they're just out there letting people download this like it's a piece of software you should use and making everybody's life hell, until I discovered this new Drive for Desktop app, which has apparently just been sat there for God knows how long at Google doing a similar job in so much of a better way. I'm looking at the about now, it's version 46 I'm using, so God knows how long this has been available. And it's a totally different way of doing it. Now I just have that same Google Drive folder on my hard drive, but there's now technically nothing in it. Nothing is synced. It's a file stream. The file isn't downloaded until I need to use it, which is great because that's actually quite rare for most of the files. I don't have to choose what to sync. I don't have to wait for it to sync or really significantly slow down the boot up of my computer or crash it altogether or whatever else that damn backup and sync app has managed to do over the years. And I just can't recommend it enough. It's just so much. It's brought Google Drive into the present day. You're going to tell me this has been out for like 10 years now or something, aren't you?
Probably.
I don't know. Google's horrible at letting us know what utilities they have.
And even then, it's such a dig to find it. I mean, clearly it's aimed more at sort of organizations when you're trying to deploy a Google Drive account to 2,000 people or whatever. Mm. But it works for me. I didn't have to do anything. I just installed it and signed in, and it works. I don't know why it's... I can put a link in the chat room if I haven't done already. Because you can't just... It's not on the page you'll find when you search for Google Drive app.
Of course,
they still want you to do the backup and sync, and you can. There's a button download, but if you're going to learn more, then you can start digging around and find this other thing.
There's only three things Google get good at: search, ads, and creating stuff and killing it and not telling anybody about it.
Yes, definitely. So they'll probably kill it off along with Google Drive soon.
Yeah.
At some point.
And I'll migrate all my data to one of the many things that tries to give me a terabyte of data a month that I pay for. There's so many of them now.
Yep.
Yes, there are.
Apple will be the next one to get me another $6.99 for another terabyte, just because I've gone over the 250.
Mm-hmm. 200.
I've got a very early iCloud account that has nothing but email and photos in it, and it's gonna hit that limit soon. Mm-hmm. And then I don't need a terabyte of data. Mm-hmm. Google have given me two. Microsoft have given me one. Adobe are giving me storage. I have other.
Technically, Microsoft is giving me six.
There's just so everyone wants to give me storage.
But yeah, it tells you how cheap storage is getting.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
I mean, except for AWS, they're still charging like crazy for it. But
I'm still paying them for some stuff as well. So yeah, I have a lot of stuff on Glacier that I'll hopefully never have to move. Yeah, enough with the online storage, everybody. But this is get this app. It's much better.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, Mueller, tell us about your cool thing.
Have you got a link?
It's for the that podcast.
Well, I know the He's quite a well-known journalist in the tech magazines here, Mr. Honeyball.
Oh, yes.
So he's involved, also Litchfield to some extent, but other people are in that particular circle. It's a very, very, very good... it's very technical, so it's well worth a listen. Definitely go for it. Have a listen. There's lots of them. They're on. It is on Apple's as well. I've just posted obviously a different link, but it's on Apple and all the other different ways you can get it. It's quite a dry podcast because obviously it's very technical, but you do learn an awful lot from it. I thank you.
Awesome.
I'll look at that one.
All right. Mine is either something that you would never think I would bring, or you'll be like, oh, okay, sure. That totally makes sense for Jeff. I found a website that teaches you how to tie knots. And it's like practically any knot you can think of, it's on the website.
Oh, yes.
And they have little videos showing you how to do the knot, you know, walks you through all the steps. And it's actually really cool. So if there's some sort of knot that you've seen or have always wanted to use but just couldn't figure it out, here it is. Also, if you need to learn how to tie a tie, they have several different styles and even how to tie a bow tie.
I was going to say which kind of tie you're about.
Well, it depends.
Yeah,
because you definitely have choices. So
I could tie both.
Yeah, there you go.
Does it show you how to tie a shoelace? Because my missus could do that, so I had to tie hers. And you know how hard it is to tie somebody else's shoelaces.
Well, yeah, you're on the wrong way, aren't you?
What sort of knot you want to use on the shoelace?
No. If you do it yourself, I could tie a shoelace in an instant. But if you're tying somebody else's shoelaces, I'm not being funny. It's very hard.
I think it's just you.
No. Try it. And try tying somebody else's tie. You could do it yourself.
I can do somebody else's tie. That's all right.
Do they survive?
Well, yeah, because it's normally on the other people's shoe. It's, well, my children, to be honest. But yes.
I can tie shoelaces. It's why my mum won't let me have Velcro shoes.
I mean, you could do Does ever anyone do the double knot? You know, when you do the first loop and then you do a second loop to try to make sure they don't come undone.
I do that to my boots, otherwise I end up treading on the laces because they're too long.
Well, I do that because although they come undone. But you try doing a double loop on someone. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I think it's just you. But we still love you.
This site's really good because I use this time. We're learning how to tie a monkey's fist.
Yeah,
which is like a little ball. I had a go at that. It's called a monkey's fist. It was used by sailors as a weight on the end of a rope to throw it over the edge, just to give it it's basically a ball. If you do it properly, it's like it's the size of a tennis ball, this sort of size type thing. But I went to tie one for a key ring. I think I've got it somewhere. I don't know where it is actually. It's not on these keys I've got here. I've done Cobra and stuff like that before with a bit of paracord to make pulls for my bags and stuff. Because when you travel and you want something where you can recognise your bag, a bit of paracord tied in a Cobra stitch on one of the zips in bright pink or bright orange, you can see which one's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or in a room full of people's laptop bags when they're all the same. Having your laptop bag with a big red thing on hanging off the side of it means you know which is yours. Yeah, it's great. It's good stuff.
So, yeah, there you go. Get yourself a piece of cord and start tying some knots.
Yeah, let's do a bowline.
Yeah. Jeff, you're gonna have to try to learn that knot so you can do back when she's corset up. Look.
Oh yeah, no problem. I can do that.
You'll probably need to use a big knee in the back when you do it as well to pull hard.
Oh, only if she wants it. All right, I think we've come to the end of yet another show, and and that much consents. Okay. Not a problem. Yeah. All right. Well, on that fun and exciting note, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me every week here with those crew of miscreants, band of miscreants, here on the big show. Also on the make show tomorrow. Everything I do, all those social media links and how to reach me and everything, you can find at thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And Ian, where can people find you?
You can find me here on the big show every week. I'm in and out of the Slack room, depending on days and where I am. And otherwise, I'm teaching people Commvault, sat here with the camera, and or I'm fixing people's broken Commvault. And if you want me, I'm on LinkedIn mostly. Look for me there. Ian Grant, the only one who does Commvault.
Awesome. And Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on earlymorningbarking.com or on the YouTube channel by the same name.
Cool. Awesome. All right, Muller, where can people find you?
Muller Biker on Twitter, also in the Slack room. And you look, I've had a foodie flashback. Just took all my hair off.
Bless your heart. All right.
I despair.
I am Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram. I'm here on the big show until Ewan starts watching these, and then he'll be like, seriously,
just a lot of us.
Also on the Mac show, pretty regularly on Mac Voices Live. All this week, I'm on Mac OS Ken's In a Few Minutes. And we've talked about HomePod, we've talked about NFT. And today is Thursday. Today we're talking about AR and VR. And yeah, it's been awesome. So check that out too. And yeah, that's probably enough places to find me for now. Hey, thanks to all of you for being here. And I'm referring to Patrice, Ian, Rich, and Muller, because holy crap, all of you make this so awesome. And basically all I have to do is hit go and hold on for the ride. So thank you for that. Seriously, all of you rock. And to everyone that is watching live or watching the recording or listening to the recording later, thank you for being part of this. Every single one of you rocks. And if I had the opportunity, I would give every single one of you a big hug. And a couple of you, I would even give a hug that's a little bit too long, so it's just slightly awkward. And actually, one of those people would be Ewan. And so, Ewan, we do miss you. Sorry you're not here. We're looking forward to you being well enough to join us again and to take over. And I will do my best to not step on your toes and try and take over the show when you're here. Yeah, it'll be easy. You're so good at this that it'll be much better when you're back because of how awesome you are. So thanks again to everyone. Also, thank you to TSO Hosts and IMED Max for being our sponsors. And give them some love too. And we will see everyone tomorrow for the Mac show and again next week for the big show. And everyone have an awesome weekend. And there we go.
Hey.